This is OPD's Quick Take Northwest. Today is Monday, the 31st of March, 2008. I'm April Bear, and I cannot believe this. Usually Monday is the desert of the news cycle, but we have got so much news today, I don't even know what to do with it all. Let's start things off with Bill Clinton's appearance in Medford. The former president is making a campaign swing through Oregon, starting off in southern Oregon, where he rejected the idea that his wife, Senator Hillary Clinton, should bow out of the race to avoid a protracted party infight. Jessica Robinson has more.
Senator Hillary Clinton's lower delegate count has led some prominent Barack Obama supporters to suggest she make an exit. Speaking to the crowd of 2,000 in a Medford high school gym, Bill Clinton argued the long race is improving the democratic process by allowing more states to be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is an amazing election, and aren't you glad your votes are going to count?
Clinton, evoking the prosperity of his own presidency, criticized what he called President Bush's failed economic policy and said the U.S. is lagging behind other countries in developing so-called green-collar jobs.
You just think of all the rural places in this state that hadn't had any new investment in production in 20, 30, 40 years. And you could do it in an environmentally responsible way and cut your fuel costs and generate jobs for the people of Oregon.
Democratic organizers say Hillary Clinton plans to visit the state, likely within the next couple of weeks. I'm Jessica Robinson reporting.
Bill Clinton is scheduled to make additional stops today in Portland, Salem, and Bend. We'll have more on that for you later in the week. Oregon's so-called Big Look Task Force is poised to roll out some potentially controversial changes for the state's system of land use planning. The 10 members of the Land Use Task Force expect to float what could be big changes for land use planning at today's meeting in Salem. The current system depends heavily on state regulations that keep development away from farms and forest lands. Task Force members have talked about reducing the state's role in the planning process. They might also rely more on things like the economic benefit of new development, rather than depending almost exclusively on whether the land is designated for farm or forest use. David Bragdon is the president of the Metro Council, the Portland area's regional government, and he's on this Big Look task force that's meeting today. He's expecting the ideas will come up against some opposition.
Whenever you're trying to do something different, there's people that are comfortable with the status quo, but I think by and large, the fact is we're trying to improve this system. We're trying to achieve the similar types of outcomes for the state in terms of what we want our state to be like.
Later this spring, task force members will hold dozens of meetings with advocates and officials around Oregon to redefine their proposals. Meetings with the general public will follow that. The final recommendations should go before the state legislature next year. Our May primary is still more than a month away, but the first television ads in the race for Oregon's 5th congressional district have hit the airwaves. Salem correspondent Chris Lehman reports.
When six-term incumbent Darlene Hooley announced in February she wouldn't run again, it set off a scramble for her seat. Republican Mike Erickson is trying to get out in front of the pack with this 30-second spot that touts his conservative credentials.
He's a businessman, not another tax-raising politician.
Erickson might already be a familiar name to Oregon voters. He was the Republican nominee for the 5th District in 2006, but he lost to Hooley in the general election. Erickson faces two other Republicans in the May primary, including former gubernatorial candidate Kevin Mannix. Five Democrats are also in the hunt. The 5th District includes Salem, some Portland suburbs, and part of the Oregon coast. I'm Chris Lehman reporting.
Several high-profile assaults near TriMet Max stations are raising questions about security on the Portland area's light rail system. Last November, a 71-year-old man survived a brutal attack near a MAX station in Gresham. That came a day after Gresham's mayor, Shane Bemis, said that safety was an issue near MAX stations. Carla Peluso is chief of police for Gresham and a self-professed lover of the light rail. Peluso says the November attack put MAX safety in the public eye. She says having police officers ride the train will deter violence and just plain obnoxiousness, too.
A mere presence on the train stops that kind of behavior. I mean, that's kind of been our point, is be seen, be available, be approachable, and have some authority.
Eventually, 10 officers from various districts will patrol MAX trains in Gresham and northeast Portland. TriMet started patrols on the west side of the Willamette River in mid-March. On Friday, the gray wolf was removed from the federal endangered species list. Now, scientists are trying to be more creative about how they study the animals. Correspondent Anna King reports.
With the delisting, it's likely that much of the federal money to study the wolves will dry up. But Dave Osband with the University of Montana in Missoula says he has the solution, the Howl Box. It's a computer with speakers and a microphone. The machine howls and then records any real wolves that respond. Back in the lab, Osband can tell how many wolves howled back and at what time. It's cheaper than a team of scientists, but there's one large problem with leaving the device in remote areas.
Bears, for some reason, just love to wreck cameras or anything that you put out in the woods remotely, so I'm a little nervous that bears are going to destroy a few, but I guess that's the price of doing business in the woods.
If left alone by bears, the Howl Box can be heard by wolves up to 6 miles away. Osband and his team are set to install about 5 of the Howl Boxes in central Idaho this June. I'm Anna King in Richland.
A dig at the Oregon State Hospital has turned up a series of pioneer-era artifacts. Archaeologists have discovered dish fragments, clothing, and some clay pipes. They think these came from a homestead belonging to a Salem pioneer in the 1850s era. The discoveries could yield a lot of new information about what life was like at the end of the Oregon Trail. It's not clear yet what impact the artifacts might have for plans for a new facility to be built on the site. The State Office of Historic Preservation is going to have the final say. A group of students from the University of Oregon are trying to beef up the library at the Oregon State Penitentiary. These are students who took a literature class alongside a group of inmates. The students said they were impressed with how thoughtful the prisoners were during classes. The inmates told the students that they only see a limited selection of books, so the students decided to hold a book drive. If you're interested in donating, I've got two phone numbers for you, 503-547-3810 or 503-574-1105. One of the things the students are especially hoping for is old textbooks. Let's check in on sports before we wrap things up today. The Blazers are facing the LA Lakers on Wednesday in Los Angeles. Kobe Bryant and his team are out for revenge after losing to the Blazers 119-111 last time the teams faced off. The Blazers officials think that LaMarcus Aldridge might be a candidate for the league's Most Improved Player award. In college football, the Oregon Ducks are starting 15 days of spring football drills this week. The big question, who is going to take over Dennis Dixon's position at quarterback? Coach Mike Bellotti says not to expect any final decisions until fall camp. The Oregon State Beavers are also practicing this week, starting today. The Beavs lost 8 starting members of their defensive line after being number 1 in the nation against the run and number 3 in quarterback sacks in 2007. Coach Mike Riley is still on the hunt for the next generation. Checking in on the weather forecast today, it's pretty foggy outside this morning for the coast and the valley regions. Now, after all the fog burns off, we've got variable clouds today, just a slight chance of showers. It doesn't look like the rain's going to be very heavy, if it happens at all. Highs in the 50s. In the Cascades, some sun, some clouds. A little snow's possible, but not too much sticking to the ground. Moving over to central Oregon, we've got partly sunny conditions, highs in the upper 40s. And boy, tonight you better be ready to bundle up. We've got near record lows coming in at 8 to 18 degrees. So that's single digits tonight in central Oregon. In the Eastern Gorge today, partly cloudy with highs in the mid-50s. For the rest of eastern Oregon, not too bad really, partly cloudy with highs mostly in the 40s and 50s. The farther south you get, places like Lakeview, the more likely that the temperatures will be colder, down in the low to mid-40s. And the mountains and high plateaus are expecting highs in the 30s today. We've got a few snow showers possible over the Blue Mountains and the Wallawas, but the Weather Service says accumulation should be negligible at best. And overall, it's going to be kind of breezy today, with wind speeds in many places 10 to 20 miles per hour. That wraps it up for today's podcast. Thanks for listening. Signing off, I'm April Baer.